It's a Tuesday. What do? Every Tuesday, we do the Dial-A-Doc program, and today, we have the president and CEO of FHN, Mark Gridley, is with us here today. Mark, good morning. Hello to you.
Good morning. Always a pleasure.
Great to talk to you. Always is. And, you know, this is our year-end wrap-up and holiday greeting, of course. You know, as with 2020 and 2021, it's been quite a year. Give us, you know, before we talk COVID, give us some high points at FHN from your perspective.
Well, that's a good point that there are a lot of things going on outside of COVID. First and foremost, the high points are our amazing staff, just incredibly talented caregivers sharing their skill and compassion despite whatever odds are in front of them. But we've made some progress as a healthcare system. We were able to open our crisis stabilization center in the beginning of the year. We opened a new facility in Joe Davies, in our Stockton area. We've also renovated our emergency surgery area, so our surgical suite upgrades have been done to be able to better service people. We've replaced our cardiac catheterization lab, so quite a few things happening here at FHN.
What have been some of the most challenging aspects of handling now this virus and this pandemic that you've had to face at FHN?
Our biggest challenge has been a lack of staffing. Incredibly stressed caregivers that are working lots of extra hours. And so the sheer number of people being hospitalized has created quite a bit of physical and mental toll on our team. As we can talk about lots of different things with the variants, misinformation, miscommunication, vaccine confusion. Some of the most challenging things is really having people understand what the actual truth is and the importance of people following healthy guidelines and staying well to try and get this under control more quickly. So when we talk about the strain for resources with the number of patients, you know, supply chain, I talked about staffing, what we're trying to do is to make sure we're getting information out there that's factual and what is our real-time experience here in the state line area.
What is your census now at the hospital? Where are you at?
As of this morning, when I woke up, it was 88 patients. Generally, at this time of year, we're running around 60 or so. And a good portion of our patient census, between 30 to 40%, has been COVID-19 positive. Our intensive care unit has run full for a number of days over the past several weeks. Currently, we house 8 patients in our intensive care unit, and the census this morning was at 6. However, we had 5 of those patients on ventilators, which is very resource-intensive, not to mention an extremely serious condition. So it's been a tough push for us so far.
We're talking to FHN President and CEO Mark Gridley at FHN. Mark, what about, I guess maybe there are some silver linings maybe that we could look at in this pandemic. What are some of the positive things that that COVID-19 brought to FHN, if any?
Well, I think some of the positive things, and there always are, is, as I mentioned, and I'll keep driving home, is our amazing staff, people just willing to do whatever is necessary to care for the families throughout our community. We've had great community support where people are really starting to appreciate the healthcare worker, and that's regardless of anybody's role or title. It could be our environmental services workers, like our janitors, our food and nutrition folks, our supply chain people, as well as the actual clinicians, caregivers, and physicians that are providing the hands-on care. So we've seen a lot of support throughout our community for us as healthcare workers. And then also there's been a little bit more of an acknowledgement as we're seeing more of the virus spread. I think there's a more accepting that this is very real and that it's creating a concern and that it's impacting people's lives on a regular basis. So even though the downside is that we're going through this, I think there's a greater awareness that is being felt across the community, helping to convince people to be a little bit safer. And we've also learned how to be more flexible, and when we've been short on certain materials, how we could replace those with other types of material or find those extras, as well as looking at how do we do things more efficiently. I think that's really pushed us as we've had less resources as far as people and equipment, supplies, is how do we still make sure we're providing safe care and keep things going. So there's a lot of lessons that we've learned that we're going to carry over once we get through this.
I know that, you know, it's on a day-to-day basis that this is an issue for you guys because you work in the business, but you know, all of us out here, we're sick of this pandemic too. And the big question is how long do you think this is going to be continuing, and it's going to be a continuing problem for the as a healthcare challenge?
It is, and I wish I knew the answer to that, and anything that I'd say would be pure speculation. One of the recent things that I was reading on some of our medical blogs and publications is that you were looking at shifting from a pandemic into an endemic, and that endemic is something similar to, if you think about our seasonal flu season, and discussions about how COVID-19 is going to be one of those next viruses that we're going to learn to live with, and just learn to better control it and hopefully keep people from getting severely ill and, again, keeping them out of the hospital or even worse. So it's one of those things that we're going to have to learn how to deal with in the short term and then potentially in the longer term as well.
What should we be thinking about out here? What should we be doing here in 2022 now?
I think the best thing to do is think about others as well as yourself. It's not necessarily about you. Maybe a healthy individual and could fairly weather things well with a virus or any other type of just common influenza. But think about other people that may not be as healthy as you are and the impact that you can have. One of the things is just making sure you're following those safe practices. If you're not feeling well, especially around the holiday time, maybe it's better that you let people know that you're thinking about them, but you stay home so as you kind of reduce the potential for that spread. Vaccination is key to gaining some leverage on this. However, vaccination is not a silver bullet, and I've talked to some people that are fully vaccinated with a booster who feel like they're invulnerable, and that's just not the case. It will definitely significantly reduce the odds of being a life-threatening type of disease, but it doesn't mean that you can't still carry it. So it's being aware of that. Again, looking at when you are getting together for those gatherings that everybody's doing so in the safest manner possible. And I've heard of families going to extremes as far as making sure people are testing at going to Walgreens or CVS or getting a home testing kit before they bring people over, where I think you can be a little bit more moderate. And it's certainly just that awareness is going to go a long way to help and protect one another.
We're talking to Mark Gridley, FHN President and CEO today. It's the annual review, year-end wrap-up, holiday greeting as well. And, you know, Mark, one of my major concerns here now with it, your census up, I know Monroe Clinic census is up as well, SSM, you know, is that if someone needs emergency medical care and, you know, there potentially could be a problem because of the lack of resources within your institutions because they're caring for the folks with COVID.
That's true, and one of the challenges that we have is not only locally, and we work pretty closely with all of our healthcare partners, including SSM Monroe, is that we're constantly informing each other, you know, where are we at as far as our potential to take patients from one another or even transfer patients to other organizations. In the Rockford area and in Madison, where we tend to have some of our higher-end care facilities for those that need that really specialized tertiary care, when they're running at high census, that means that in our area, in rural communities, we have less of ability to be able to transfer those patients out. Unfortunately, we tend to define peak census anywhere where over 72 patients at any one time is sort of the line that we have where we have to start looking at alternate planning. And we've had patients that have had to stay in our emergency department overnight because we haven't been able to find a bed within the hospital for them. Now, thankfully, that hasn't lasted for too much longer, and we've been creative on how we could do that. But it really creates a strain on the system. And then once people are in the hospital, they also may not be able to go home. So when we talking about our long-term care partners, they're shorter staffed, and if they aren't able to take those patients, we can't get them out of the hospital to a different skilled nursing facility or long-term care facility.
Yeah, all the dominoes, man.
It is.
All right, let's talk. Let's get back to positive here because I want to stay positive. Get back to positive. Tell us about some of the other achievements FHN has had during the year.
Well, I'm really excited about our new location that we opened in to serve Joe Davies County. It's right off of Highway 20 in Stockton, and it is a state-of-the-art medical facility with digital x-ray. It has a group counseling room, newly designed, easy access. So I'm really excited that we were able to bring that to the community. It's a much-needed area. as well as the renovations I mentioned earlier with our surgical suite upgrade is state-of-the-art with new lighting for our surgeons and camera systems and equipment, as well as high-end safety finishes to reduce even further the chance of a hospital-acquired condition. So really making it a great place for the talented staff to do the work that they're doing and giving patients the best outcome possible. We were able to open just last month a newly renovated cardiac catheterization lab, which is brand new equipment that we brought in. The equipment that we had prior was 10 years old, and while working well and safe, it's just really just light years ahead of what we're able to do and what the physicians are able to handle there. And we have so many other things that are happening that are just really advancing care, and we're keeping our eyes looking forward and fixing on getting through this and how do we continue to improve the care we're able to deliver with the best equipment and people possible.
What do you look at for 2022? What's on the agenda there, Mark?
For 2022, we're looking at how do we take some of the lessons that we've learned to become more efficient? How do we continue to be focused on patient-centered care? So we're looking at some of our processes, like a team-based care approach, to be able to more holistically take care of patients. Continued investment in our infrastructure. Our facility is aging, and it's in much need of some basic updates and repairs where things that aren't as exciting as a new piece of cardiac cath lab equipment, but things like our elevators or our heating, ventilation, air conditioning, all very important things to keep the facility going that we're looking at improving. We've just run a year-end campaign to replace and update a lot of our EKG machines throughout the organization. So continued investment in our people, in our property, in our equipment, as well as just being grateful for the opportunity to provide excellent health care for our friends and families throughout our area.
What have you observed in the community over the past year that has impacted FHN?
Well, one of the things that is first and foremost in my mind is just the generosity of the community. A lot of people willing to work together, caring about neighbors, helping them out as they can. And though we're definitely all stressed and fatigued by this, I think we've learned to become much closer knit as a community together, which is a positive thing, and it's really helping us look at moving forward and building and strengthening our community.
And what are some of the ways that people out there listening now, advise them as to how they could stay up to date with everything that is going on at FHN?
Well, certainly listening to great programs like yours is going to be one aspect to do that. As we've been doing a little bit of a focus on our social media webpage, we've also been putting new statistics out there every Wednesday about how the hospital is doing with capacity, number of cases, so that helps to keep them informed. You know, these Dial-A-Doc interviews are a great way for us to reach a lot of people. We have our Insight magazine that's out there, our FHN Facebook page, and, of course, our FHN website, which is fhn.org. And has a lot of information that we'll continue to push out that is not just COVID-related. As you mentioned, there's a lot of other really good things that we're working on together.
All right. I'll send you, in the Christmas card I'm going to send you, I'll send you $5 for the promotion of the show, by the way. Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Excellent.
All right. Any special plans for you, either for Christmas or New Year's resolutions? Any personal messages to the audience?
Well, probably I'll start with a personal message for the audience, and I hope everybody has a very happy, healthy, and safe holiday. And as we all are physically stressed and mentally stressed, it's really important for that connection and supporting and being there for each other. And if we can just put a lot of our differences aside and just enjoy each other's company in the safest manner possible, and be grateful for so much that we have in front of us and so much that we have currently. I do not have any real special holiday plans aside from spending it with my family. And I'm not really a big New Year's resolution person. I figure the best way to make change is to do it as soon as we see the opportunity.
All right. You're still a Packer fan, though, right?
I am.
And so Christmas Day, you're going to be watching the Packers, I suppose. That's going to be something.
It will be. That'll be a special victory.
All right. There we go. And now, the question I have for you is that, does Aaron have COVID toe or not? Or is that just a, what, you know what? I don't get a clarification on that from anybody.
What was that? Could you repeat the question?
COVID Aaron Rodgers. Is that COVID toe that he has? He originally kind of said COVID toe, and then he kind of backed away from that.
You know, I do not know.
Okay, gotcha.
I think it's definitely going to be one of those conversations at the dinner table.
I hear you. All right. Oh, great. We get to talk about Aaron Rodgers' toes at the dinner table. All right, great. Mark, it's always great to talk to you, and thank you very much. Thank you for your work and all your staff. And all your people, I know it's been a very, very tough year for you, all you folks, and I hope that this next year improves. I thought this year we would be having a much better discussion about this virus than we actually are having.
You and I both, and the best way through is through. Appreciate all of your support in helping to get the word out.
All right, great. Thanks. Talk again soon, all right?
Take care.
There you go. That is the FHN president and CEO, Mark Gridley, and the preceding today brought to you and sponsored by FHN.